thanks to Ford Motor Credit for taking the time to join us today with their busy schedule. With us from Ford Motor Credit is Kara Kent, the CFO, who's helped lead the Ford Credit turnaround over the last several years. And joining him is Sean Ryan, the Director of Investor Relations. This presentation is going to be about 20, 25 minutes with a short amount of time for Q&A. So please, let's keep it interactive. And without further ado, we'll kick it off to Kara Kent.
Thank you all for joining us. I asked for the early morning slot and didn't realize I'd get before 8. But so be it. We are webcasting this today, so welcome to everybody that's listening over the web. I'm going to talk a little bit about the auto company, a little bit about the credit company, and give you a perspective of where we are at this point in time. Three things I'll really focus on: the business environment that we're facing, which won't be a surprise to many of you, the One Ford plan, and then, of course, Ford Credit. If you look at the economic environment we face right now, none of this is really a surprise. Although economic activity across major markets remain uneven, the global economic recovery continues in the third quarter. Growth in China, India, Brazil, Turkey, as well as Germany and Canada has been strong, whereas in the U.S. and some other European countries, growth is on a more modest recovery path. Consumer spending gains have been hampered by slow pace of unemployment growth and ongoing weakness in housing and credit markets. Additional fiscal stimulus to support growth is unlikely given budget constraints in the U.S. and Europe. In fact, fiscal tightening will be a drag on growth in many European markets. Continued weak growth has recently caused the U.S. Federal Reserve to take quantitative easing actions to support additional economic growth. This year's global industry volume in the auto industry is projected to be about 70 million units, up about 8% compared with last year's level of 65 million. And overall, the global business environment remains challenging, but we expect global growth to continue into 2011. Talk a little bit about One Ford. Looking at, on slide 4, pre-tax results by sector, I'll quickly review the first 9 months' results. Total company first 9 months, pre-tax operating profit was $7 billion. This includes a profit of $4.6 billion for the automotive sector and a profit of about $2.4 billion for financial services. As shown in the memo, total company first 9 months, pre-tax operating results improved by $8.6 billion compared with a year ago. On slide 5, I'll focus a little bit more on the third quarter itself. Ford's total company pre-tax operating profit was $2.1 billion. This includes a profit of $1.3 billion for the automotive sector and a profit of $761 million for financial services. As shown in the memo, total company third quarter pre-tax operating profit improved by $1.1 billion compared with a year ago. Compared with the second quarter of 2010, third quarter pre-tax operating results decreased by $887 million. Hopefully by now this slide looks familiar to you. This is the One Ford plan that Alan Mulally led the development of shortly after arriving in 2006. By focusing on implementation of the One Ford plan, we have improved our business and achieved strong results. The One Ford plan is working. Our efforts are reflected in our strong results through the first 9 months of 2010, which enabled continued progress towards repaying our automotive debt. In the third quarter, we paid down $2 billion of the drawn amount of the revolving credit line. At the end of October, we used cash to fully prepay the remaining $3.6 billion of debt we owed the VEBA Retiree Health Trust. Through the third quarter and including the October paydown in the VEBA debt, Ford Automotive has reduced debt by $10.8 billion, while liquidity itself has improved slightly. And we expect to further reduce automotive debt through conversion offers on two of our convertible debt securities. As we continue to improve the business, we are focused on growth in all geographic regions, especially in Asia Pacific. And finally, we are on track to meet our financial targets this year and next year, delivering solid profits in 2010 with positive operating related cash flow and continued improvement into 2011. As we continue to make progress on the One Ford plan, our credit ratings have improved. It is our strategy to continue to improve the balance sheet. While the metrics will be judged externally by the rating agencies, we have used returning to investment grade as a rallying cry within the business. Now I'll move to slide 10 and talk a little bit about Ford Credit. Here's a good snapshot of the products and services Ford Credit provides in support of Ford. We do everything from dealer inventory financing, dealer consulting, to getting consumers behind the wheels of Ford products through leasing and retail. And as I mentioned, although the pace is uneven, we believe the economic recovery is underway. Ford Credit's access to the capital markets and spreads on our transactions have improved since the beginning of the financial crisis in 2008. And coming out of the financial crisis, we are seeing regulatory changes all over the world. It'll take months, if not years, for full adoption and implementation, but as always, we will comply with all regulations, continue to operate transparently and responsibly, and treat our customers fairly. On slide 12, Ford Credit's strategic priorities remain the same. Our goal is to primarily support the sale of Ford vehicles. We work with Ford to maximize customer and dealer satisfaction and loyalty, aiming to always provide a full complement of financing products and outstanding service. We continue to continually fine-tune processes in a structured way, focusing on the customer and maintaining process discipline to ensure the efficient use of capital. Slide 13 is another way to look at our business and at the strategic priorities or the value proposition that we offer. We have a vested interest in the success of our dealers. Our integration with Ford on going to market to our customers is based on over 50 years in this business. This puts Ford Credit in a unique position to drive incremental sales, improve customer satisfaction and loyalty, and of course, direct profits and dividends back to Ford to help the company continue to develop great cars and trucks. In total, it is a virtuous circle that benefits all stakeholders. On slide 14, here's some additional detail on how we execute our value proposition. We use prudent origination standards and apply them consistently to purchase across the risk spectrum. This is what we call buying it right. We invest heavily in technology, consistent processes, and continuous improvement to service our accounts and ensure they come to a successful conclusion for both us and our customers, all of which manages our risk and helps us fund the business. Slide 15 focuses more on the third quarter for Ford Credit. And as you can see on the left, Ford Credit earned $766 million pre-tax profit in the quarter. Charge-offs for on-balance sheet receivables in the third quarter were $95 million, and I'll cover this in a little bit more detail in a few minutes. And at the bottom, at September 30th, our managed receivables were $85 billion, and our managed leverage was 6.3 to 1, compared to 7.7 to 1 at the end of September 30th last year. Compared to the third quarter of 2009, we improved our profit before tax by about $100 million. And as this slide illustrates, the largest driver of increased profits was the decline in the provision for credit losses of about $200 million. And this reflects primarily charge-off performance, and I'll speak more on this again in a few minutes. As shown in the memo, the $100 million decrease compared with the second quarter is more than explained by smaller improvements in the provision for credit losses and depreciation expense for leased vehicles. Based on these same factors, we expect fourth quarter results to be lower compared with recent quarterly results. For the full year of 2011, we do expect Ford Credit to be solidly profitable, but at a lower level than 2010. This primarily reflects the non-recurrence of lower lease depreciation expense and the non-recurrence of credit loss reserve reductions of the same magnitude we experienced in 2010. And to provide a little bit more detail, the non-recurrence of lower lease depreciation expense primarily relates to lower gains associated with recovering a portion of the operating lease impairment that we took in the second quarter of 2008 as leases terminate and the vehicles are sold. We will also have fewer lease vehicles terminate in 2011 compared with 2010, resulting in fewer vehicles sold at a gain. For example, the recovery of the lease impairment goes from about $640 million in 2010 about $240 million in 2011. Likewise, lease terminations themselves will decline from about 400,000 units in 2010 to about 230,000 units in 2011. Likewise, we expect the credit loss reserve will begin to level off in 2011 at about 1% of receivables. And this is from 1.14% at the end of the third quarter, which effectively results in lower or less reserve releases than we experienced in 2010. On slide 17, this slide shows the longer-term trends of key metrics for our on-balance sheet U.S. portfolio. Earlier in the decade, Ford Credit made changes to strengthen its originations process so we could better weather an economic downturn. The results of these changes can be seen in the positive trends in the key metrics beginning in 2004. While delinquencies, the repossession ratio, and severity moved higher during the recent recession, we are seeing good improvements in all credit loss metrics in 2010. Slide 18 shows the longer-term trends for our worldwide on-balance sheet loss-to-receivables ratio and charge-offs and allowance for credit losses and how we are now returning closer to pre-crisis levels. Both metrics improved earlier last decade, reflecting the changes we made to our originations, and at that time, and in 2010, has improved from what we experienced during the recession. To provide a little bit more granularity on our recent experience, this slide 19, shows some of our credit loss metrics over the last 6 quarters. Both worldwide and U.S. Ford Lincoln and Mercury loss to receivable ratios in the third quarter are down from the same period a year ago, reflecting primarily lower repossessions and lower severity in the U.S., as well as lower losses in Europe. Charge-offs in the third quarter were $95 million, as I mentioned. This was down $145 million from the same period a year ago and up $9 million from the second quarter of 2010. Slide 20 focuses more on the U.S. Ford Lincoln and Mercury portfolio. And as the economic environment has stabilized and started to recover, used car prices have improved. And you can see our repossessions, severities, and 60-day delinquencies have reached some very reasonable levels at this point. On slide 21, leasing has always been a part of our business. Here we have the lease residual performance for our Ford Lincoln and Mercury U.S. brands. Compared with the prior quarter, in the third quarter, auction values were up marginally for both 24 and 36-month leased vehicles. And then although lease return volumes in the third quarter at 39,000 units were up slightly from the same period last year, as auction values have improved, we have seen lease return rates decline, and you can see 61% in the third quarter. Slide 22 talks about our funding plan, and we are on track to complete our full-year funding plan. The key elements of our funding strategy remains unchanged. Here you can see the forecasted funding ranges by transaction type. Through October, we have completed $24 billion of term funding. About $16 billion of this funding was public, including unsecured debt issuances totaling about $6 billion in the U.S., Canada, and Europe, and about $10 billion of securitizations in the U.S., Canada, and Germany. In addition, we completed about $8 billion of funding through our private securitization channels, again, in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. Slide 23 shows the trends in funding for our managed receivables. At the end of the third quarter, managed receivables were $85 billion, and we are forecasting a range of $80 to $85 billion at the end of 2010. Our receivables are primarily funded using term asset-backed securitizations and term debt, as well as equity and asset-backed commercial paper. We ended the third quarter with about $20 billion in cash, including $5 billion to support on-balance sheet securitizations. Slide 24 talks a little bit about our liquidity, and our liquidity remains strong. The top box shows Ford Credit's cash and committed capacity, which includes unsecured credit facilities, FCAR, asset-backed commercial paper lines, and other asset-backed bank capacity. The bottom box shows how much of the committed capacity has been utilized. As of the end of the third quarter, after excluding securitization cash and adjusting for available assets, liquidity was about $42 billion, of which $17.5 billion was utilized, leaving about $25 billion available for use, given our present level of eligible receivables. The $8.2 billion of committed capacity in excess of available assets can be used to fund future originations, or we will work with our bank partners to reallocate it where it is most needed. Available liquidity is about $4 billion higher in the second quarter and is about 29% of managed receivables. So in summary, on slide 25, the One Ford plan is working. Ford had strong results in the first 9 months of 2010 improve the business, and pay down some debt. Ford is focusing on growth in all geographic regions while rallying around getting back to investment grade. At Ford Credit, the funding environment has improved dramatically since the beginning of the financial crisis, as demonstrated by improved access and lower spreads across all funding activities. Overall, delinquencies are down, and our dealers are in a much stronger position. We are very pleased with recent credit loss performance being driven by improved auction values and reduced repossessions. At Ford Credit, we continue to focus on the basics and our strategic priorities to support Ford sales and drive dealer and owner loyalty. With that, I would be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Sure, I guess I'll kick it off and then open it up to the floor for questions. I've noticed leverage has fallen from the higher levels that we saw a few years ago to 6.3 times. What's the right cap structure for you concern on leverage? And if you do take that leverage up, could that help you generate more earnings?
Yes, it's a good question on our leverage. Right now, we're sitting at about 6.3 to 1. And the only thing we've announced is that we have a dividend planned in the fourth quarter of about $1 billion. We do a what's called a risk-based equity study every year within the company to determine what should be the appropriate leverage for the company. And it's basically going through and evaluating the assets that you have in your portfolio. And effectively, as we said in our 10Q that we recently published, that we think the appropriate leverage is somewhere between 10 and 11 to 1. So we're sitting at 6.3 to 1 right now. We'll get back towards that level over time. We've held back equity in the credit company primarily to ensure funding. But as we get more and more confident with the funding situation, we'll start to move our leverage back up to that 10 to 11 to 1. We actually have a contract with the auto company that we will not take our leverage above 11.5 to 1. Please. Would you mind repeating that?
Plan to become investment grade again is what the rating agencies see as appropriate metrics for it to be investment grade again.
Yeah, we do have a lot of discussions with the rating agencies about where we are and what our trajectory is. I hate to comment on what their views are. It's really their call in the end. We are basically focusing on our One Ford plan, improve the auto company, improve the credit company, improve operating results in the auto company. And I think, the rating agencies will get there when they decide it's appropriate, and I hate to put words in their mouth.
Hi, good morning. Two questions. First, just to tie the last two together, given that you're talking about ideal leverage being about four times higher than where you are now, how does that tie in with your discussions with the rating agencies? Are they fearful that, they would upgrade and then at that point you guys would start levering back up again? And
As far as the leverage goes?
Yeah, you're kind of looking for an upgrade, yet you're also hinting that your leverage is, about maybe half of what you think it should be.
I think the agencies have been very straightforward that they're going to tie the credit company with the auto company as far as ratings go. We do take the rating agencies through our risk-based equity study to come up with a 10 to 11 to 1 leverage. We think it's appropriate. It's high investment grade leverage is what we're targeting. We used to be, if you go back several years, 13 to 14 to 1. It's come off that level. Primarily, I'd say, because of the auction market volatility, which adds more risk into the overall business equation. But we still think 10 to 11 to 1 is good, high investment grade.
And can you also just comment on the origination side of your business? Obviously, your competitor, GM, went out and bought a subprime lender. Even Ally, it seems like, is starting to take the chains off a little bit and originate some higher risk pieces of paper. Where do you guys stand on in that respect?
Yeah, it's a good question on the subprime side of business. I want to be really clear. We buy a broad spectrum of business. We do buy subprime. We always have bought subprime. What we've been trying to do for the last several years is to consistently originate our business so that when we go to the market for ABS, people know what they're buying. The Treasury guys like to call it a Ford deal is a Ford deal. And basically what it means is we can have consistent underwriting, consistent servicing, and try to improve the business through the back office as opposed to trying to really buy much deeper, really buy much higher. you know, you walk into a Ford store and you got fairly decent credit, we'll buy you. You walk into a Ford store and you might not have the best credit out there, but you bought 3-4 F-150s in a row from us. You're in construction, you're trying to, you know you got to get to the job site. We see the pattern of the payments in the past, and we'll underwrite that. We got 50 years of experience in this business and a lot of customers that are repeat. So we still buy subprime.
Okay. So you guys don't feel like you're missing out on business, due to, your...
No, I don't feel that we're missing out on business. Truthfully, at this point in time, the industry's running, I think we say in the U.S., 11.6 million this year. We believe it's be over 12 or maybe even approaching 13 next year. It's been more of a demand issue as opposed to a supply issue. As I said, if you're interested in a Ford product, go to a Ford store, and the odds are we'll underwrite you.
Thanks. To follow up on that, KR, when I look at the credit score, you're 728 now and have trended higher. I mean, is that a function of the market, or is that sounds like maybe that's planned deliberately to be higher based on your last comments? I mean, where do you see that going from here?
As far as if you see the FICOs over time, they have creeped up a little bit. Our intention is to continuously underwrite to the same level, so we're not trying to really buy up the market or anything. We really came off a really low part, 2002, 2003. So the focus is primarily around, it should basically stay around where it is right now. I do want to make one thing real clear. I put the FICOs out there because it's something that everybody sees, something everybody can understand, but a lot more goes into our underwriting than just a pure FICO. As I mentioned, we'll look at past payment history. We'll look at contract characteristics. You put more down up front. So there's a lot of other factors that go into our underwriting. We think we actually have very good underwriting, which is demonstrated by the losses that we've been experiencing.
I'll jump in here with a quick question. As we've seen yields fall and your credit spreads continue to kind of grind tighter and kind of in the horizon, potentially an investment-grade rating, how do you think that's going to affect your funding mix? When I started covering you guys, the great preponderance of debt was unsecured, and we had a small slice of ABS, and that's completely flip-flopped, where ABS is, the mainstay. And most of these, investors are, concerned with how much more debt they'll see in the index. So if you can just give us some color on that.
Yeah, I can't really give you too much flavor. We do a lot of ABS at this point in time. About, as I mentioned, 55-56% of our funding is from ABS. I think you'll see it over time. Probably ABS will back off a little bit as you have more access to unsecured and the spreads come in. But we'll still be in the market in both places. We'll still do securitization. We'll still do a lot of unsecured debt.
To follow on that, how are the conduits and liquidity, how has that improved over the last year or two from the crisis level?
I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but you got back into 2009, there were a lot of banks that were backing off a bit on the conduits, on a lot of things. And since that time, I'd say in the last couple of quarters, we've actually started to pick up some capacity. I think in the third quarter on the liquidity slide, it's actually up a little bit versus the second quarter. Banks are coming back. They're interested in the assets. I do think one of the things that happened during the crisis was when the ABS market shut down, people just weren't sure what they were buying anymore. They wanted to go back and take a look at it. Everybody's scared to death of the mortgage side of the business. And then when they started to see the retail automotive business continue to perform well, even our lease securitizations performed, that people got much more comfortable with buying the retail ABS, the leases. And you can see that in the spreads coming down dramatically.
On page two, you give a good breakout of your growth areas versus some more modestly growing areas. Could you talk about the revenue split between those two areas and the difference in how you market your product in those overseas countries?
It's a good question. I can't really give you very much flavor on the auto side of the business because I'm mainly focused on the credit side. One of the big things that they're focused on is commonality, having common platforms, common vehicles around the world. And I think you'll see more of that over time. The other big focus is dropping down from You know, at one point in time, we had 97 nameplates between all the different brands, and heading down to somewhere around 20, 25 over time. The key of all that is basically gets down to commonality, making sure the products are work in every market. And I think you'll see more of that over time. As far as the revenue splits and the like, you know, we obviously see some of the big growth potential being in China, for example. I will point out we also see a lot of growth in the U.S., for example, when you're coming off industries at, you know, 10 point something last year, 11.6 this year. There is obviously growth potential in the U.S. at this point in time. Europe's a little bit different. The industry volumes did not drop as much because of the scrappage programs that they had last year, and that's coming off a little bit. And so we'll see what happens in the European market.
This is more like qualitative for 2011, but you mentioned SAR potentially going to 13 million, the environment improving, GM IPOing, essentially Chrysler coming back, the industry in good shape, financing fairly decent. Are there big chunks of the long-term debt refinancing, both at the group and Ford Motor Credit, that you're starting to work on restructuring, which you think could deliver potential for cheaper interest rate charges? Just overall, it becomes a virtuous cycle. Maybe give us an idea how you're thinking.
Yeah, let me, I'm covering two places. One in the credit company, there is not really anything in particular that we're doing, mainly because we have generally short-term term debt. It's constantly rolling off. Especially ABS, you get into retail ABS, it's relatively short duration paper, and that's mainly why people really like it. On the auto side, they've done a lot this year, they did a lot last year. As I mentioned, they took $10.8 billion of debt, including the VIBA payment in October out. They are actually in the market right now on a convertible securitization, or convertible debt security deal. Which I can't comment on at that point in time. Longer term, I think it's pretty straightforward what the company is trying to do, and that is get back to investment grade. That is the rallying cry within the company. We have said to the parent company that we plan to be net cash neutral by the end of the year, or around about net cash neutral, with improvements next year. And I think you'll see more of the same. They'll still focus on getting back towards the investment grade metrics. Anybody else?
Well, I think that wraps it up. Appreciate Ford Credit for coming, and good luck with the rest of the presentations today.
Thank you all for your time.